The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. And ladies and gentlemen, it is still Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. How you doing, Wyatt?
You know, I'm better than Kelly. What he told me yesterday, it sounded like his insides are having a Game 7 battle in the 80s between the Lakers and the Celtics.
His insides? That's happening right there?
Yeah, it's his stomach just ain't feeling right.
Hasn't been hugging koala bears or anything like that? It's about his insides.
I hope not, because I'm not going to hug him when I see him. Yeah. No.
I hope he's better. I hope he feels better. Kelly should be back tomorrow, we hope.
You know, he made the call yesterday like 3 o'clock, which I appreciated. Yeah. A lot better than 5 in the morning.
He made the call at 3 o'clock the previous day. Oh, you kids. On the show today, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, on the heels of his Uncle Jack getting inducted in the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame at Bet Bash 3. He will be here to join us, as he always does, on a Tuesday in the offseason. Remember, once the NFL season starts, here's the NFL schedule for those who don't know. Again, Thursday before a weekend. So the first mega pod of the season will be, in terms of the Beating the Book podcast, will be the Thursday before week one. But the first guessing lines is always right after week one, the Monday after week one. So Chrissy will shift to the Monday schedule starting the Monday after week one. But he's here today to join us, as is Eric Eager, host of the Sumer Sports Show. Eric Eager, who we have not checked in with recently, his thoughts on the NFL season, his best bets, his most controversial takes. By the way, that question has elicited a number of very interesting responses. Yesterday, Frank Schwab saying Niners to miss the playoffs might have been the most fascinating of all of them. That's stepping out on a limb. Love that one. So we'll see what Eric Eager has to say. Were you surprised by that? I was. I haven't heard one person say that.
I was too, because it felt like, you know what I wound up watching yesterday was the like the documentary about the 2000 Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that the Niners defense is on par with that, but that's also a defense where it's like, give me just average quarterback play. It's making the playoffs.
2000 Ravens defense, epic.
Did you know that a guy sat up on a roof? He said, "I'm not coming down until the Ravens score a touchdown." Ravens didn't score a touchdown for 5 weeks.
Oh, I remember that from that documentary. That was, for those of us of a certain age at that time in our lives, the biggest bet we had made. I'm just talking about myself now. I'm sure there were others like me, but had so much conviction on the Ravens that day against the Giants. And they came through in flying colors. I'll tell you the doc that I watched before we get into the show. By the way, Mark Borchardt, for those who are fiending for some baseball, today is our Q3 day as well. So the first hour is going to be a lot of baseball nerdiness. What we do is every quarter, Q1, Q2, Q3, we do a derivative show. So we look at betting stats with the intention of not just describing it as narrative, but what of these stats is predictive. We'll talk about the teams that have made bettors the most money, the pitchers that have made bettors the most money, umpires, tendencies, over, under, first five inning numbers, and then proprietary first inning numbers for those who like to bet first innings. We'll do all that with Mark Borchardt. His thoughts on the Major League Baseball slate today, which is chock full of games and matchups that are solid. And I'm going to get to some of these baseball projections to win division, to make the postseason, which we did this exercise, I want to say 2 weeks ago, maybe was it last week? I can't remember. But it elicited the Cubs as the best bet. We have three playoff bets, yes or no, and then two division bets coming up. And this is just an exercise. I'm not endorsing, we'll even get to the ones of the five that I don't really endorse as much as the others, but this is just looking at fan graphs and baseball reference projections to make the playoffs, to win the division, and then juxtaposed against the betting line. Where are the five best bets? We will do that here momentarily, but you just bring up a documentary. I just want to say real quick before we get into that. I watched the Johnny Manziel documentary last night. Have you seen that? The Untold Johnny Manziel documentary?
Well, unfortunately, like many people in America, I have been hit with the can't share a password with Netflix, which I was sharing it with my roommate's friend, maybe through her sister or whatnot. So yeah, I've had Netflix in like a month.
I won't get into a whole bunch about it, but it's Untold. Untold has had a bunch, you know, we've had a bunch of these Marty Fish in tennis, Untold, the Manti Te'o story was part of this Untold series, Serena Williams. Johnny Football, the meteoric rise and precipitous fall of Johnny Football. And it was fantastic in the sense that it reminded you just how Meshuggah his entire arc was. To the good and then to the bad even more perhaps dramatically. And I just want to throw this out to the listeners. I won't even chime in that much. But anybody at Beating the Book who wants to chime in who has seen this, because you will come away with one of two reactions. One, you will be like, I have no sympathy whatsoever for this dude. He had the world at his fingertips. He had the world, you know, in his hands, whatever the expression is. The world was his oyster. And he just absolutely crapped it away. Or your response to it will be a very 2023 response, right? Where we are much more locked into mental health considerations than we once were. And you will actually have varying degrees of sympathy for him. He was diagnosed as bipolar. Some people might even be skeptical about that diagnosis. I don't know. So you will have one of two very different responses to that documentary. And I will tell you what mine was a little later on. I'm not, I'll give it away by saying this. I was more the former. I don't feel proud of it, but I had trouble garnering up sympathy for it, even though I know rationally I'm supposed to be sympathetic in some regards, because obviously there's alcoholism in the family. But I don't know that there was much parental supervision. Like at one point his dad is like, hey, you know, coaches are supposed to give him structure. No, dude, that's your job. So anyways, it was a fascinating documentary, and Johnny Football, obviously 2 years in the NFL, and that was it. And then peripatetic CFL fan leagues and all that stuff. But I recommend the documentary highly. I'm curious anybody who's seen it chime in at Beating the Book. As for those baseball projections, so I did the whole thing, and it's a mind-numbing exercise of looking at numbers juxtaposed against the betting lines, the fan graphs, and baseball reference projections. But if we go to the yes-no to make the playoffs, yes-no to make the playoffs market, there appears to be three bets, if you are to believe, again, either baseball reference or fan graphs projections. And let me just say, if you are to believe, because none of this is infallible, right? None of this is infallible. So as far as to make the postseason, the Mariners in the AL West, baseball reference has them at 44.3% chance to get in, 44.3%. FanGraphs just 28.5% to make the postseason. If you believe the baseball reference number of 44.3%, then plus 180 represents a very solid bet, because 44.3% ought to be about plus 123. Now, you would have to buy in, of course, once again, to that 44.3% number. But if you do buy that, then plus 180 on the Mariners to make the postseason, that would represent the first solid bet of this exercise. Currently, of course, if you look at the wild card numbers in the American League, the Mariners are a cool two games behind the Blue Jays for that final spot. And again, we are at the quarter pole now, roughly, give or take a couple games of the Major League Baseball season. Just a quarter of the season left. So the Mariners to make the playoffs, if you believe the baseball reference projection of 44.3% to make it, plus 180 would represent a very solid bet. The Cubs once again come up to make the playoffs. Not as stark as it was last time, as you might imagine, but still a good bet. If you believe, especially the baseball reference number again, of 67.6% chance to make the playoffs. FanGraphs only 54.2%. But especially if you believe that 67.6%, really only if you believe that 67.6%, minus 125 is still a great bet on the Cubs to make the playoffs, because if you believe 67.6%, that ought to be north of minus 200. So again, it requires you to buy into the baseball reference number. And then the last one here, and this is why I say these are not infallible, and no one loves the Giants as much as I do, or any more than I do, Wyatt. But per FanGraphs, the Giants to make the postseason, it's actually both of these. The Giants to make the postseason for both of these services is over 60%. 60.9% for reference and 61.6% for FanGraphs. I'll have to double check those numbers, because that's just unbelievable to me that they're still this high. But if you believe those numbers, you're getting minus 145 on the Giants to make the postseason, which would represent a good number, because if they have a 60% chance, 60 plus percent chance per these analytics sites, both FanGraphs and baseball reference, and I'm looking at FanGraphs right now, yeah, 61.6 to make the playoffs. Baseball reference, yeah, I got it right, 60.7%. Then minus 145 still represents a very good bet. But does that pass the eye test to you, Wyatt, on the Giants? Well, again, if you look at the strength of schedule remaining in the Major League Baseball season, they have the fifth hardest schedule remaining in baseball, 522 aggregate opponents win percentage. I don't know. It by the numbers and by the projections, it's a good bet. I'm just telling you. So the bets in the postseason, once again, would be Mariners, yes. Cubs, yes, if you believe the baseball reference numbers. And the Giants, yes, whether you believe Fangraphs or baseball reference. To win the division, there are two. The Rangers, if you are to believe the baseball reference number of a 72.1% chance to win the AL West, at minus 155, by the way, the betting numbers I'm quoting are Fangraphs numbers, minus 155 is, you know, a 60.8% chance. So a minus 155 bet would be triggered because 72.1% suggests about a minus 260 number. So the Rangers at minus 155 to win the division represents value. And yes, the Cubs again are the final one to win the division. So the Cubs come up in the make the postseason and to win the division. The Cubs at baseball reference are 44.8%. Fangraphs only has them at 25% to win the division. But if you believe the reference number, I mean, that should be plus 122, not plus 210, which is where you can get them at Fangraphs. Always shop around for these numbers. But again, per this exercise, the best bets to make the postseason, the yeses, are on the Mariners, Cubs, and Giants. I don't know about that Giants one. And to win the division, the Rangers still represent value, and so do the Cubs. Cubs are how many games out now? Was it 3.5 yesterday? Right now it's, well, they are right there as well. On the outside looking in. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book talking about the Manziel doc, The Truth 1980. I watched the Johnny Football doc and never knew that they lied about his family having oil money. And did I miss the reason him and his best friend haven't spoken for 10 years? You were saying wide off air that the lie about the oil money was something that surprised you as well.
That was one that I believed when I was in college.
At the time.
I was like, oh, yeah, he's from Texas, oil money, rich. Yeah. Like, okay.
That's also a great comment about the him and the best friend. By the way, spoiler alerts on all this, so I apologize, but you'll still enjoy the documentary. It's not like the story you're largely still familiar with the story, but that was a very strange sidebar as well, where like they weren't mature enough, even though they separated business wise, like they weren't mature enough to still remain in communication. It didn't make sense. They never talked again. He and his best friend. Scotty B726, Johnny Football Untold Story was excellent. My son's an Aggie, and my friend's son is Eric Burkhart. Found it very interesting. Mitch Moss voice cameo was excellent, too. I didn't catch the Mitch Moss voice cameo. They must have used his voice as part of the montage when they were talking about certain elements of it. But the Eric Burkhart part is great to seize on, because in many ways, Johnny Manziel's former agent was almost the star of it all, because he, in great detail, explained how they tried to circumvent the drug testing during the combine and the run-up to the draft. It was fascinating.
So, obviously, spoilers here, but they've also been on Twitter, so it's not really that much of a spoiler.
Yeah.
My favorite part is that his agent, and I can't remember who else was running routes during his pro day.
Yes.
Like, hey, man, go run this go route. Dude, I run a 5.5. What do you want me to do?
Oh, there's so much, man. There's so much in there. And then Trust the Glove. We'll just read one more here. He said, did not watch and probably won't. My bias and my experience with the disease, happily sober, suggests that no man is stronger than the substances. Bad stuff follows each day. It's a horrible existence, money or not. See, Trust the Glove has what I was talking about as the other reaction to it, which is, I don't know, maybe we all had this wrong. Maybe he deserves grace. Maybe we can't possibly imagine what was going on in his mind. I lied one more. Joey B, couldn't agree more with your take on Johnny Football's father. What a scumbag, he said. Throw that in the mix. Fascinating. I recommend it tremendously. you have more comments, we'll just sort of throw them in through the show. By the way, one football note this morning. The Colts have announced that Anthony Richardson, in fact, will be their QB1. Anthony Richardson will start the regular season as the Colts' starting quarterback. He was always a favorite to be the starter. Obviously, Gardner Minshew lurking in the wings. But Anthony Richard made official now in Indianapolis as QB1. Obviously, Bryce Young is going to be QB1 in Carolina. The question becomes, will C.J. Stroud be QB1 in Houston? I'm not 1,000% sure about that. With Davis Mills having a great game this past week and Stroud really struggling, obviously the offensive line did him no favors, but...
I was going to say, if I'm C.J. Stroud, you better improve that offensive line because I don't want to be out there.
Yeah, but Mills did well. Same line, you know, so... Let's talk some baseball. Ladies and gentlemen, you may remember him as the author of this wonderful moment.
I'm laid back. Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
He's a nerd, but he knows hip-hop. Mark Borchard, ladies and gentlemen, base winner from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. How you doing, Mark?
Morning, Gil. You know, I was talking to my wife about that yesterday, and she's like, well, how'd they get your recording? And I guess you guys record before the show, because that happened before the show. Was it? You know, and I guess that's where he got it.
I don't know. Kev's always rolling tape. You never know about Kevy Kev.
Yeah.
Before we get into our little Q3 stuff, big baseball card today. What do you like?
Well, there's a couple of things I'd like here, and I'm gonna go with Philly and the Dodgers in a first five parlay, and you could get it at like plus 150 ish when they both win. You look at a couple of the high level numbers. Zach Wheeler, 28.2 strikeout percentage last 150. Good pitching plus as rated by Eno Saris, The Athletic. He's in the 99th percentile there. And then you go down to Bobby Miller. We're talking about stuff plus, pitching plus. He's got 99% stuff plus and 96th percentile of pitching plus numbers. With, I think, versus their opponents, who I don't really rate that highly. I've got Hauser as the 133rd best pitcher out of 147 pitchers. And then Kikuchi had like a little bit better, 47th out of 150. But I think if you put it in the mixer, I think that those two players are good from a parlay standpoint. Then I'm just going to go to Colorado and bet the over. Hell yeah. These pitchers for me aren't very good. And you look at Block's numbers, he's got a 13.3 strikeout percentage last 150, stuff plus one percentile. And I think that the D-backs, at least offense, is quite capable. I have them ninth overall in baseball. Not too excited about either bullpen. So when it gets to that point, it's a big number. It's 12.5, but I have projected at 13.5. I think maybe some part of me subconsciously just want to sit down, watch the Diamondbacks game tonight and see runs.
Yeah. Okay. Over at Coors, the number is 12.5, not high enough per Mark Borchard. And the parlay was a first five with the Dodgers and the Phillies. Was that right?
Yes.
All right. Dodgers, by the way, full game, 12-1 straight up in the month of August, just absolutely decimating all comers, Giants, Padres, D-backs. Man, that was a blink of an eye where that division went to crap. At one point, the Giants, there was one night where they got within 1.5 games. Now, boy, oh boy, I mean, it is donezo. 9-game lead over the Giants, 13-16 over the D-backs and the Padres, respectively. The last of whom, the Diamondbacks and the Padres, both sub-500 baseball teams at this point. But still, I guess,
Go ahead. The Giants have really had problems hitting over the last 30 days. I looked at something yesterday. They were like 29th in the league from an OPS standpoint, or weight of runs created standpoint, versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. So that's kind of drug them down. I still think that they're valuable to make the playoffs, Gil. The market, DK, has them at minus 145. I still have them at minus 180, so
yeah,
there's value there.
I literally just the previous segment went through what are the best bets, you know, based on fan graphs and baseball reference projections, both in the win division markets and to make the playoffs. There was two in the division, which we just cited, which were the Rangers and the Cubs still represent some value. And then to make the playoffs, it was the Marlins to make it, the Cubs to make it, and the Giants, believe it or not, even though their schedule's brutal, and as you said, their offense is anemic. I've said this many times before, which is all the things we bet in sports, all the different sports, you know, bullpens kill you in baseball. Obviously, there's so many things happen in a football game. We can go on and on, but there's nothing quite as bad as backing an anemic offense in baseball, and the Giants are, you know, they really do. They've overperformed in such a way for much of this season, and they do come, you know, they do come up big on some nights where you're just like, wow, this team is so scrappy. But there's a big runway left, right? A quarter of the season, and you just wonder if they get home. But you agree with what I said in the first segment, which is by those numbers, they do represent value still to get into the postseason.
He'd hit a shot last night in the bottom of the with the bases loaded in the bottom of the fifth. He just happened to hit it right at the left fielder, and that's baseball. But if that gets passed in the corner there, yeah, that's going to clear the bases. It's 5-4 versus Tyler Glass now. So yep. I think that there's capability there. They just haven't hit very good over the last 30 days, and that'll probably change. But I do agree with the Cubs. I think that they're still tremendous value. And the other one was the Rangers division percentage. I've got them, I think that's value, -253 to win the division. And I thought when I checked at it earlier this morning that would represent value.
Yeah. So you're about all that. Okay. By the way, the Giants, just if you're scoring at home, the Giants right now occupying the number two wild card position, a half game ahead of the number three team, the Marlins, who themselves are then only a game ahead of the Cubs and the Reds. D-backs 3.5 back, Padres 6.5 back in the National League wild card race. So it is super precarious. The Giants, as we said, have a very difficult schedule. And this is, by the way, the time of the year. I don't really get into strength of schedule in baseball until around now because the baseball season is so long. I don't know how you feel about strength of schedule, Mark, but it's such a long season that, you know, you're going to win games you're supposed to lose. You're going to lose games you're supposed to win all the time. But once you get it down to about now, 40, 50 games, and now we're right around the 40-game mark, then if it manifests how it's supposed to, there's no time to overcome it either way. So now is when I really start to decide. But I don't know that I make such a big deal about it before this time of year.
I think you have to break the schedule down in quarters. Just if you're going to be betting season win totals and futures and stuff, because you can, you know, let's say the first quarter, a team has a really hard schedule and they look like crap, you know, from a wins-loss standpoint, but you're like, hey, wait a second, these guys have played the most difficult schedule. And then that's something that you want to keep in the back of your mind, depending on your projections. Of course, I simulate every game, Gil, so the schedule for me kind of works itself out in the simulations when it gets to this time, which is very helpful for me because I don't have to go manually look at guys' schedules. It just goes into the projections when I run the simulations. So I'm happy I was able to build that, and it's certainly saved me a lot of time from a handicapping standpoint.
All right, we'll come back. We'll do the Q3 derivatives. We'll race through them. Teams, pitchers, five-inning bets, first-inning bets, umpires. We'll roll through it. Q3 Derivatives with Mark Borchardt on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up today for $199. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $19 for your first month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options to become part of the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Once again, all the feedback from all the things we talk about or beyond. Mike Stacks, would Mark play Rangers to win division -155, up 3.5 games, based on his numbers? Thanks. I believe he said yes. We'll check in with Mark here momentarily. Steven Vegas, after watching the Johnny Football doc, I don't think anyone should be stripped of wins or trophies by the NCAA for anything. Why is Reggie Bush still blackballed? And if, and Johnny Football will be part of the ceremony each year. Didn't they both violate archaic NCAA rules? Back to Mark Borchardt, we'll talk baseball. You did say you would take the Rangers at -155 to win the division, yes?
So I got them 71.7%. of the time winning the division, so that would translate to -253. So that's a really good price.
Yeah, it's exactly what I had said in the beginning. Or I had them. What was mine? Now, mine was not to win the division. Yes, it was. I also said the same things. It should be -260 per the baseball reference number. So yeah, -155 represents great value based on that as well. All right, let's talk some derivatives, Mark. Number one, again, the point of this exercise is not to just describe what has happened, but to determine what that's happened in the first three quarters of the MLB season from a betting standpoint might be predictive moving forward. What is noise? What is signal? So the most profitable teams, and this is, again, a bizarro exercise. You bet this team either as a favorite or a dog each and every single game this year. Every game, which obviously no one does, but if you did, here's what it would come out to. the top money-winning team in all of baseball this year, Mark, is the?
Your Baltimore Orioles.
Yes, indeed. Baltimore Orioles, 27.25 units to the positive if you bet them on the money line in every game this year, followed by the Washington Nationals at 16.38. Now, remember, the reason for the Nationals being there is they're a dog almost every time out, and they've won 53 ball games. They're not horrible. So they end up being the number two most profitable team in this bizarro exercise in baseball this year, followed by the Cincinnati Reds, who obviously have a lot of the Nats characteristics as well. They'd be up almost 15 units. So it's an amazing, by the way, it's followed by Texas, Milwaukee, Detroit. Do you remember having, I'll ask it this way, Mark, do you remember having as many bad or middling teams in the top six? Like Washington's number two. We'll throw Cincinnati in there, even though they're above 500. So apologies to the Reds, but they're number three. The Tigers are number six. Like, do you remember that being the case?
I think it happens. Like you get one, maybe two teams. I think it's similar to this every year. Gil.
Okay. All right. Do you believe that Baltimore will continue to be a cash cow for bettors?
Baltimore's like an amazing team. And if you look, it really depends. So, like, you got Bradish and you got Rodriguez, and they're really, from a time standpoint, they haven't proven themselves over a long period of time. But if you look at, like, Rodriguez, the way he's pitching, I mean, he's right up at the top of baseball from a stuff standpoint. He was able to really command it well yesterday. That's a big deal. So if you got two good starters, and if they can go Rodriguez, Bradish, then the rest of the team, then it's not, well, their starting pitching is not very good. Well, those guys have been elite over the last five or so games. And so that changes a lot of things for me, Gil.
Yeah.
Personally.
By the way, I'm citing covers.com stats for these first ones. We'll get more proprietary as we move on. Worst teams, again, if you bet these teams each and every single day, each and every single game all year long, either as a favorite or a dog, no surprise that the Oakland A's are the biggest hemorrhager for bettors. If you're betting them every single game, something's wrong with you. Probably not doing this right. You'd be down over 28 units. The Padres and the Mets are 2-3. And when I ask you the question, by the way, the Royals and the White Sox are 4-5, more predictable teams. But the Padres specifically are the opposite, right? They're the converse of what we just talked about with the Nationals, which is they're a favorite most of the time. And if you're betting them at big numbers, you're going to lose because they're sub-500. They're 56-63. I'll ask you the same question of the Padres that I asked you of the Orioles. Do you think the Padres are going to continue to hemorrhage, right? The opposite of what I asked you about the Orioles. Do you think the Padres will just continue to bleed bettors out of money the rest of the way?
No, I'm not. I'm not as convinced on that one. I think that their components of their team are really good, with the exception of like the middle and bottom of their bullpen, which isn't very good. But the starting pitching's great, and the hitting's good. They just haven't been able to put it together right now. 14.3% chance to make the playoffs. It's looking like all that money they spent is at least not going to work out this year for them.
Yeah, and you know, if you're looking again, if we want to split home road on these, if you want to do splits, Texas Rangers are the most profitable home team. They'd have you up over almost 9 units. By the way, they're very, you know, treading water as an away team, but as a home team, they're very profitable. Number one, the least profitable home team is the St. Louis Cardinals. Wow. They'd have you down almost 12 units as a home team. And by the way, if you split them away team on the money line, the Orioles, that's where the Orioles made their hay. They, of their 27 plus units, if you had bet them in the bizarro exercise every single game, 22 of them have come on the road. Wow. Followed by Washington, followed by Cincinnati. So those top teams are really driven by their performances on the road. And again, if you look at the bottom of the road, it's Oakland, it's the Mets, it's the Royals, it's the usual suspects. That thing about it being mostly on the road for Baltimore, Washington, and Cincinnati, is there anything to that, Mark?
I would think that Baltimore would be a better home team than a road team because of the way that their front office, though, I'm sure they structure the players that play in that lineup and the pitchers that pitch in that lineup to the park. And they've actually, remember, they changed the wall. It was either last year or the year before. And people, their division rivals were really kind of fired up about it because all of a sudden the power that the division rivals had wasn't as prolific, I guess, in the games when they played at Baltimore. So that surprises me. You would think that from a lineup construction standpoint, they'd be better at home, Gil.
It does surprise me, and I know, as we're saying this, some people would be like, of course they're getting more bang for their buck on the road. Yes, but for it to be that stark of a split is really unusual. And then if you go to who have been the best and the worst run line teams in all of baseball this year? Again, bizarro exercise. You bet them on the run line, -1.5 as a favorite or +1.5 as a dog each and every game of the season. It's very consistent. The Orioles are the best run line team in all of baseball, your de facto power ranking, if you will. When they win big. When they lose, maybe they keep it within one sometimes. 26-plus units as a run line team this year, followed by, again, these are really consistent, the Reds and the Rangers. So Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Texas come up 1, 2, 3, each of which have given run line bettors over 20 units to the positive this year. Worst run line teams, no surprise, KC, the Mets, and Philly might surprise some teams as the number three worst, KC being the worst, 27 in the red, 27 units in the red if you had bet them each and every game on the run line this year. Anything about the top or the bottom that surprises you there?
Phillies is, and we use slightly different sources, but the Phillies at the top of my list for run line, and in a negative standpoint, not -20 units by the numbers. They're number one. It goes Phillies, Giants, Brewers, Nationals, which is interesting because Didn't we just say the Nationals were like, they were like at the top, they're number two.
Yes.
They're three in the money line. So I guess they're winning a lot of, what does that mean, Gil? Does that mean they're winning a lot of, they're getting blown out a lot when they lose, I guess?
The Nationals, when they, because you have them way down on the run line? Yes.
No, I have them like from a profit standpoint on the run line, they're -12 units.
Yeah.
But on the money line, they're up there. I was wrong. Sorry. Hold on a second. They're number two on the money line, and then the number two losing on the run line. Yeah. So they're
getting crushed. When they get crushed, they get crushed is basically what it says about them. I'm curious. So of all of those things, it really is consistent. Besides the Nationals, which obviously is different from money line to run line, it's the usual suspects. If we go to pitchers, Dean Kramer of the Orioles, and I remember we talked about this in Q2, you're like, this can't last. He's still the most profitable pitcher. If you back the Orioles every time Dean Kramer, Israeli, by the way. Yes, tribe. Dean Kramer up 13.25 units if you backed him blindly this year for the Orioles, followed by Andrew Abbott and Taijuan Walker of the Reds and the Phillies, respectively, who have gotten you more than 8 units strong. If you go to the bottom of this, by the way, pitching-wise, who are the biggest hemorrhagers? Like, every time they go out, if you back their team, oh, man, it's Jordan Lyles of the Texas Rangers, followed by Zach Greinke of the Royals, and then Jordan Montgomery, also the Rangers. And just interesting that two Rangers pitchers are in the least profitable, yet the Rangers show up as a team as among the most profitable.
Yeah, Lyles is on Kansas City, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, we have it wrong. I'm sorry. Kansas City. There we go. Pardon me.
So the one thing that's weird is Montgomery being down there because his numbers aren't too bad, Gil. I mean, you kind of look at his his base winner ERA right now.
And he just showed up on the Rangers, so it's not really a fair comment what I made, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thus the discrepancy there. But that's, I mean, again, these are guys who, remember, Jordan Lyles was like 0-15 to start this year. Remember, he had that epic run to begin the year where he finally got a win when you backed his team. So it's interesting just to look at. I don't know how much is predicted. Do you think Dean Kramer just keeps going with this, though?
I don't know. You know, he shouldn't be this good. He's like, by my numbers, he's like an average pitcher. So, like, I don't know. Maybe if he goes 4-5 or 5-5, you get to the good Baltimore bullpen. Yep. Maybe. I don't. Okay. I doubt it.
Yeah. Umpires. First 5-inning bets. First inning bets. Next, Q3 derivatives on a numbers game.
The Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $100 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $100 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and their wager settled, you'll receive a $100 bonus as well. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus. Bonus expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Still to come, Eric Eager talk NFL with us from Sumer Sports. Again, we're going to ask him, among other things, what's your most controversial NFL take for the season, juxtaposed against the conventional wisdom either both in the betting markets or what you've heard out there, whatever. Some of our answers to that question, again, Frank Schwab had the Niners will miss the playoffs yesterday was his take. JVT was on with us, and he said, I don't want to misquote him, but it was about the Patriots. He thought the Patriots were going to be good. And he was like, I want to say he thought they'd make the playoffs. I don't want to misquote him, but I think he was like, I don't get the whole Patriots hate.
Well, if he did, it's a good sign by them yesterday getting Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke, going to be a Patriot. I saw that come across. I was like, of course he is.
And then about 5 minutes later, Jets go, Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, well, we knew that was coming. Let's talk some more baseball. Q3 derivatives. Let's get through umpires, first five inning bets, and first inning proprietary numbers. Mark Borchardt joins us at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. Of course, he does your BetUS podcast, which you do with Jason Weingarten. How often do you do that, Mark?
It's every weekday, and I take Wednesdays off, so I'm on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
So we'll do this on the podcast side tomorrow, then, since you have your day off.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to umpires. And the nice thing about having you on this again, for those who have followed these Q3, these quarterly derivative shows, and you and I have done this for over a decade now. It is the longest running subset to both the Betting Dork and the Beating Book podcast, and here on A Numbers Game. You've got historical umpire numbers, so I just want to give you what's happened thus far this year, and you'll juxtapose it against that, and we'll see if there's anything to be gleaned from it. Umpire, lineups, if you will, the rotation of an umpire crew during each series are available on sites like StatFox, and then there's a rotation to them. Nate Tomlinson, so far this year, 20 out of 25 games that he's been behind home plate have gone to the over. Jim Wolfe, 17 of 23. Edwin Moscoso, 17 of 26 to the over. Pat Hoberg, when he calls balls and strikes, 15 of 21 have gone to the over. And Daniel Bellino, 15 of 24 to the over. Do any of those resonate with your historical numbers?
Edwin Moscoso, and I just... The methodology on it, it's simple. It's strikeouts percentage and walk percentage over the last three seasons. So I ran it as of 8/14. So 2019. So the last half of 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, and now this year. So there's a decent sample in there, and he's number three from an over standpoint. 9% more runs I have projected to score when he umpires skill.
Okay, so once again, if you see Edwin Moscoso is behind home plate, if your instinct is to bet the under, maybe it doesn't make you bet over in a game, but if your instinct is to the under, maybe it should take you off that given game because he does have a tendency to call games that go over. In other words, maybe his strike zone is the size of a thimble. Maybe it's really super small. Let's go to the bottom five, or not the top five. I shouldn't say bottom five. These are the top five under umpires, to say it correctly. Top five under umpires this year, and let's see if they jibe with some of your historical numbers. Again, these are from covers. This is quite the list here. I don't want to get the guys who have had only two games, but let's go to ones who have had more. So these all have 6 of 7 to the under. Laz Diaz. Aaron Boone, I might have something to say about Laz Diaz. Brennan Miller, 6 of 7. Brian Knight, 8 of 9. Cue the Brian McKnight jams. Doug Eddings, 9 of 10 to the under. Anything jibe with you there?
Brennan Miller's like a top 15, and Doug Eddings is like a top 10. So those two, and then Wolf is a top eight. He's number eight, actually. But I thought it was really interesting that because I'm looking at StatFox, and StatFox has Brian Knight at one. So I guess, remember Brian McKnight start back at one? Mm. I guess Brian Knight is one now. So
again, a song that is mathematically impossible because one, you make your dream come true. Two, how does it go again? I can't even remember.
But I want to be with you, I think.
Two,
I want to
be with you. Three, well, the problem is four, you repeat steps 1, 2, 3. So you can never get to five. That's what I'm just saying. It's a little problem. I'll have to talk
about it.
It's
true. Yes.
All right. Let's get to first five inning numbers. Now, these are provided by Odds Sharks. And I just want to send a shout out to Odds Shark for compiling these week after week of the MLB season because I used to do these manually. Now you don't have to because Odds Shark does it for you on a week to week basis. The best five, the biggest betting teams for first five bettors this year. Do you have any guess?
Baltimore, I think.
Baltimore's second per Odds Shark. It's the Rangers, who by far are number one. Rangers number one, followed by Baltimore, followed by the Atlanta Braves. Rangers surprise you? given if what you've known about their pitching staff going into the season, obviously they had the injury to DeGrom, but Eovaldi has really filled that role. Does that surprise you that they're so far ahead of the bunch? Because they're over 15 units to the positive for first five bettors this year. No one's even half that. Or barely.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense, Gil, because they weren't in the top part of the full game, right? So that means, like, I've always thought that if they have an Achilles heel, it's their bullpen. They brought in Chapman, but I don't know if that's an improvement or a detriment to that bullpen. I guess the jury's still out on that. But yeah, so that would mean that the reason they're not in the full game, you know, top number one there, is because their bullpen's kind of let them down. Or it could have to do with their offensive production being more prolific in the first five innings, which would make sense.
That's true. It just might be their offense overrunning their pitching. That's exactly right. The offense has just been great. And no surprise that the Atlanta Braves are in that top three because of their amazing first inning numbers that just last through the first five, if you will, in many cases. Worst three on the first five, no surprises. The Royals would have cost you 20 units this year if you bet them every first five, which would just be ridiculous. The A's, the Red Sox, and the White Sox, and the Phillies of the first five. So the Phillies are sort of the anomaly there. Do you expect the Rangers to keep being a great first five? I guess you have to at this point, huh?
It's hard to deny that offense. That Corey Seager is amazing. You know, you're a year too late on him
always.
From an MVP standpoint.
I'm always a year too late on him for home run, everything. I am a huge Corey Seager guy. The shift, the banning of the shift has helped him tremendously. He was great even with it, but he's amazing. Always the contact, the hard contact that he provides on a year-to-year basis is just unbelievable. Gets the barrel on it. All right, let's go to the most proprietary of all these. We'll conclude with this. First inning numbers. A lot of people like to bet first innings. I will go first, let's call it first 60. Well, it's a minimum plate appearances, we'll go 60. So these pitchers who have faced a minimum of 60 or have had a minimum of 60 plate appearances against, the worst first inning pitchers in terms of opponent on base percentage. Is Luis Severino pitching tonight? I believe he is. Yes?
He's pitching tonight.
Luis Severino's on base percentage in the first inning against is the worst in all of baseball in the first inning. 507. Woo! If you get over 500, boy, you are, how can I put this, not doing things. So Severino's the worst, 507. No surprise, our buddy Adam Wainwright is number two at 462, followed by Luke Weaver at 442. Flaherty at 433.
Log on Wainwright yet, or is he still going to get another start?
Oh, man, it's the gift that keeps on giving, huh? So it's Severino, Wainwright, Weaver, and Flaherty. I mean, Severino and Wainwright, not surprising at all. Are you not touching that Yankees game tonight?
You know, Severino's got some numbers that look actually pretty decent in that game. I think his like strikeout percentage last 150 is actually like serviceable. So yeah, I don't know. Like there was something that kind of took me off that game. I don't know what it is though, but I decided to not play. Oh no, it was a stuff plus. His stuff plus is in the 78th percentile. So I guess he's got the capability, but he hasn't shown it. He has not shown it so far.
Explain to everybody what stuff plus is real quick by your number.
So just got kind of. Eno Saris rates 11 different categories: vertical drop, movement, velocity. You can check it out at The Athletic on his methodology. But it's actually like the spin rate of the ball, that sort of thing. 11 different metrics, and then he categorizes it and gives a number, a raw number to that. And then what I've done is I've made it a percentile just from a handicapping standpoint, and he's like in the top quartile for stuff plus, Gil.
All right, best first inning pitchers on base against: Framber Valdez, 190 against; Jesus Luzardo, 193 against; Sonny Gray, 200 against; Zach Wheeler, Zach Eflin rounding out the top five. So no huge surprise there. I just want to get back to the Severino point as a final one. Severino, the worst in the first inning. The Braves' run differential, epically great in the first inning. In fact, there's only a handful of teams' run differentials in all of baseball as a team for the whole season that are better than the Braves' first inning. I mean, this would appear to be a bet waiting to happen. First inning tonight, Braves.
First play of the year. Go Braves, first inning.
There you go. Braves are minus 225 in that ball game as a whole, by the way. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. We'll talk on the podcast side tomorrow.
Sounds good, Gil. Thanks.
My man. Eric Eager on football on the other side.